She's in April.
And she's Molly.
And we are
the Book Besties. Did I dream cheat on you?
Actually, fuck yeah, you did.
I just need a dick.
Did you ever think about me once in this situation, or were you only thinking about yourself?
It was the perfect marriage.
That banter was fire.
I love a dick joke.
At it again. Continuing on romance reads this week, guys.
Second episode of the season. Yeah.
You and I almost matched today.
Oh, because we're both wearing gray?
Oh, no, the purple. You see, I have my purple sweatsuit on.
Oh.
And I did a Molly thing and went to open paint. Mm-hmm. And the purple sweatshirt is now covered in blue. So that is why I am not in purple today.
I have paint on this shirt. This is an old grad school shirt. You know, whatever.
Just flexing those grad school bones. Mm-hmm. I love that you still have stuff from grad school.
I still have stuff from undergrad.
I bet most of my stuff
that's over 20 years old.
Yeah. Most of what's left over of my Coast Guard crap are t-shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm not little like that anymore. So the only person that can wear them are Piper right now. So you'll just see her in an old ODU shirt, the undershirt, you know, where it's just says Coast Guard. And I'm like, hey, Biggs. And just shut up.
Did I tell you that I defaced a uniform shirt?
No.
I didn't know that it was not okay to do this because Tom didn't tell me. He was totally fine with it. He gave me one of his uniform shirts and I used fabric paint and made I heart and it said Coast Guard boyfriend underneath.
Okay.
And yeah, you're not allowed to do that because that's technically their uniform.
So before we start, I need to tell you, I'm kind of mad at you from my dream.
Did I dream cheat on you?
Actually, fuck yeah, you did. I had this horrific dream that I stumbled across a podcast you're doing with a local friend in your area, and you have better graphics, better everything, and you're like, Molly, I really was hoping you wouldn't find out. Why didn't you just end this with me if you didn't want to do it with me anymore? And you're like, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. You cry too easy. And I was like, no, I don't.
I would never have said that. It would have been I don't like conflict. But let's be perfectly honest with each other. There's no way I would do another podcast because this is a lot of motherfucking extroverting. And I can't do it with more than one person. That's not going to work for me.
It was just so funny because you were hiding it, and you guys had the Olivia Dade style graphics and these cute, you guys were doing really well.
Yeah. And I'm having some envy issues with another bookish podcast right now. They got Rebecca Yarros.
Fuck them.
Mm-hmm. They're fuck local them. To the area where she's doing one of her tour stops. And they are the ones that are going to actually interview her. It's going to be a live episode. And I'm fucking jealous.
Same.
We've had some incredible authors. So I really shouldn't complain because Olivia Dade does not do this shit.
No. And I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining about who we have had on and how.
Oh, no. Except for Isaac. I'm going to complain all day about him.
I am grateful for everyone that has spent time and taken their time out to come to our pod.
Yeah.
We've been going at this a little bit longer than some of these people. Mm-hmm. And so these bitches need to stay in their lane and let us do our shit.
I mean, Rebecca Yarros would be a hard get, you know?
I don't know. Didn't you have an email address at one time?
I still have it. But I just...
Not a right now problem. No. Not a right now problem. But anyways, you did dream cheat on me.
Okay, well. I can't... I'm sorry.
There we go. Okay, I'm good with that. Yeah. I'll take that. No cheating on me.
Okay. How about the fact that when we were interviewing an author who's coming on next week, you mentioned your other best friend. We want to talk about cheating.
Okay, I'm allowed to have multiple best friends. I don't complain about Megan. I don't complain about Megan.
Okay, well, I don't bring Megan. Well, I do bring Megan up on the episodes. But I don't bring up Dawn on the episodes. And we share Katie. So
we do share Katie. I love Katie.
I'm not a person that collects friends, okay? I have 6 whole friends. And 2 of them live here.
6 whole friends.
6 whole friends.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
And only one of them is an introvert. And we went to dinner on Friday. And it was awesome. Because we both, like, live in the quiet. We're okay with it. Mm. And she and I told her my idea for you and Katie and I to go into the mountains and just have a weekend of reading. She was like, I want to do that. And I was like, yes, let's do that. So I think we're going to do that.
I'm good. I hope we do.
Yeah.
I was talking about Pod at the book event today. The
good. The book club event today. You should.
And I had to, I'm sure we'll have some new people join us after that because, hi, gang, I wouldn't shut up about it.
Well, it's a lot of fun. Really, I like our vibe. But I'm a little biased because, you know, I'm part of it.
So. Same. Would you like a synopsis for today's book? Why don't we mention? Girl,
you haven't even said what the fucking book is yet.
I'm so good at hosting. I'm such a great grown-up. I'm a good grown up. So
this is bestie. Why I would cheat on you with another podcast.
Fuck you. No, respectfully.
Disrespectfully.
Fuck Disrespectfully, you. Fuck you. And now I have to make a sticker for that too. I'll make it blue to counteract the pink of the respectfully. Okay. This week's book, gang, is The Fiancé Farce by Alexandria Bellefleur. Do you see how I didn't fuck up the last name or the first name?
But you pointed it out.
But everybody knows I screw up names. It's a big deal.
Well, let other people celebrate it, not you pointing it out so we are forced to celebrate it.
I need to celebrate my victories, damn it. I don't get a lot of them.
Oh my gosh, keep going.
I'm sorry. Synopsis.
Yes.
When Jancy first starts to lie about dating your romance cover model, she did it to avoid terrible family dinners. Now she is dancing at her step cousin's wedding with her fiance, who, I air quote fiance, who happens to be that model. How did this happen? Gemma.
Oh, indeed.
The black sheep and wild child of the Van Dillen family has learned that she is to be the heir of her grandfather's company. But there's a slight catch. She needs to get married first. So when a pretty stranger starts telling everyone they've been dating, she expands the lie to engaged. Tansy is an introvert who loves her family bookstore and is just trying to keep it running. Her stepmother is about to sell it until Tansy lies and says, again, that magical word, fiance, is going to buy it for her. Yeah. As Tansy and Gemma's lies grow, they pull more and more people into their story. Did either of them expect to catch feelings? No. But here they are, about to walk down the aisle, and Tansy keeps her Here we are, about to walk down the aisle. Will Tansy keep her family bookstore? Will Gemma gain control of her family's company? Let's talk about it.
Let's.
So, Alexandria Bellefleur is new to Pod.
Mm.
She has a 3-book series called the Written in the Star series, mm-hmm. 2 standalones, this book, and another book called Truly, Madly, Deeply. Oh, and a novella that was recently put in the Under the Mistletoe collection.
She's one of them I was talking about last week.
Mm-hmm. That was released by Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about her writing? How do you feel her writing holds up to other romance writers we have read?
So first of all, I didn't realize, I recognized her name and couldn't for the life of me figure out how. And mm-hmm. so when I was reading the notes that you wrote for this episode, I was like, oh, well, which one did she write? And so I went and looked it up, and there are five in the collection, and in ranking order, hers is fourth for me. The only one below it was Tessa Bailey's. But I find it interesting because Alexandria, who prefers to be called Alexandria, not Alex, this is on her website if you want to look that up. Alexandria is bi, mm-hmm. and her books all feature bi characters. And that novella, I'm pretty sure, I mean, I guess they don't dive enough into it, so maybe one of them is bi. It's definitely a man and a woman in that story, which bi people date opposite gender. That's part of it. But I'm literally it's married never
to the opposite gender.
Exactly. It's never said in there that any of the characters are bi. I remember reading that one, and I'm telling you this because it's going to make sense in a minute of how I felt about this book.
Okay.
In that book, in that novella, the main male character is a firefighter. And so Nurse Katie and I read it for Warm Winter Bitches. And Nurse Katie's husband is an EMT firefighter. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't usually like books with firefighters in them because, you know, she's got a hot firefighter. She doesn't need to read about them.
She doesn't need one.
They're usually not very realistic. And it's the same reason that you and I are like with Coast Guard. We're like, eh, whatever.
It's blue. It's not for you. It's always been my slogan.
Yes. Unfortunately, it is for me. Well, fortunately.
You were not active duty, though.
I know. Anyway.
So you're okay to date the blue.
That book or that novella has a scene in it mm-hmm. in which I had to text Katie and go, how does this biologically work?
Oh, no.
Because there is a scene in which he is behind her.
Okay.
But she's fully watching him insert himself. How? She's like turned, like how would you?
Are we doing this?
Like, I'm not flexible enough to fully, like, see.
Sorry, guys. This. That was my rump.
I couldn't. How?
Ow!
How?
How? Does she have everyone's this flexible?
I don't know. It's like a snake neck or something. But anyway, with that said, I frequently, when we read sapphic romance,
mm-hmm.
I don't always enjoy the smut and or the spicy scenes, the sex scenes, the intimate scenes, whatever you want to call it. It's because I want a penis to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
I don't seem to mind when there are two men and a woman and a woman, two
as
men.
As long as there is one penis,
I just need a dick.
Happy.
Okay. So this spice gave. I know we're going to talk more about the spice later, but the story had great witty banter. I actually texted you that because I started it first and I was like, there's great witty banter here. I felt like the characters were both like believable as characters, not the this story very, being believable, this, but
it was the characters were developed and thought. There wasn't a gap in their personalities or their storyline.
And that's one of the things that I said in my review of her novella was that this needed to be a whole novel because it was too short to flesh out the story the way that she needed to. And I feel like I would definitely read her again. I would read her again because I liked it. And we've read a lot of sapphic romance. And I usually am like, meh.
On the fence. Yeah.
This one I liked. Was it the best thing we've ever read? No.
No. But, I mean, we don't read so that we get 5 stars across the board. I mean, we'd love that, but that's not why we read. We read for this kind of diversity. Will I read her again? Yes. I like a good sapphic author. I like...
Yeah. I think that part of the issue is, too, some of the sapphic books we've read have not been written by queer people. Mm. And you can fantasize about whatever you want and you can,
I get what you're saying.
The research or whatever, but like and having this be, it is important to research. Maybe don't have snake necks in your books. I don't know, but she knew what that would look like.
Yeah.
And she described it in very sexy ways.
Yeah, for sure. For
sure. So overall, I enjoyed this book. The ending didn't hit for me.
Mm. We're going to talk about the boardroom at the end. We're going to talk about it. We should. We're going to. We are thrown right into the thick of it when it comes to Tansy's life in chapter one. She has been using a lie to avoid her family and has been pretty vague about it. But things start to snowball pretty quickly as soon as Gemma crashes the wedding. What do you think of how these two leads meet and are pushed in together?
I mean, I love a fake dating trope. I've said that on this pod before, but I do not like a fake marriage. This is a marriage of convenience, so it's not really even a fake marriage. It's like, this is how one of them is going to save their family business, and the other one is going to become the head of their family business. So it's marriage of convenience. I do find it to be pretty far-fetched that she never realized that Tansy never realized that Gemma was in the Van Dalen circle, especially because she dated a Van Dalen when they were younger, and because her cousin is now marrying a Van Dalen.
And the Van Dalens are so well known in the area. Yeah. That was
a And I understand that Gemma was using her mom's name and not Van Dalen, and that's how, but there's no fucking way that this woman is a wild child of a very wealthy media family and people don't know who she is. She's basically like Paris Hilton.
And they've made it very clear she's been in the tabloids. So she's probably seen her face on the internet other than her Instagram shit.
Right. And it wouldn't be, they maybe would use the last name that she was choosing, but it would definitely be, the headline would be Van Dalen. Air. But
that also goes in the reverse, you know, because a lot of her family, the Van Dalens, act like they didn't know she was using this last name West every once in a while.
Right. Which so they did because they knew about her modeling career.
Right. There was some inconsistency there for sure.
Yeah. And like, I just feel like it would be like any of the socialites that are heiresses. Like we got Paris Hilton is the easiest one to mention because everyone knows who she is. But it would have been the same thing. There was the Johnson & Johnson heiress. This is like, I don't know, 20 years ago, started dating Tila Tequila for a while.
Yes.
Everybody knew about that. I didn't fucking know who that woman was, but I knew that because the tabloids picked that up, you know?
But Tila Tequila's not even a real bisexual. She did it for the press.
Do you know that she joined the Nazi party?
She's Asian.
Right. And she said, I loosely quote, she said she felt like they appreciated her because she brought diversity to their group. I'm going to send you the article that I read about that. It's been a while, but I'm going to send it to you.
I'm going to move on before I literally scream.
Yeah, that's fine.
Shame on you, Tequila. Shame on you.
There's a lot of things that she should be shamed for.
Shame on you. Tropes, love them or hate them, they are a part of every good romance novel. We have it all in this book. The fake drape trope that rolls into a marriage of convenience. We have the Cinderella trope where one is wealthy and one isn't. Oh, don't forget the orphan trope. But you get my point.
Yeah.
Do they work in the fiancé farce?
I think so. Even though I don't like marriage of convenience, I think it was handled really well here. I mean, there's even a scene in which Tansy goes to Gemma and she's like, I want to save my family bookstore. And Gemma's like, okay, well, how much is it? And she's like,
she was ready to write her a check.
Right. She's going to write her a check. And she says, we're basically negotiating my dowry here. Yeah. Because we're getting married as a contract so that I can take over my family's company. So they both played it well. It really was a, oh, but we actually love each other. It kind of reminded me of the Dreamland Billionaires series. You only read the first one in that, right?
Oh, no, I read them all.
So the second one is the same thing. It's a marriage of convenience because he can't take over as CEO unless he's married.
And it's him and the assistant, right?
Yeah, well, it's not supposed to be. The assistant found him somebody to marry. Right. But that was not going to work.
No.
And then they fell in love with each other, you know, during... That was my least favorite of the book because, again, I don't like fake marriage.
I don't. See, I don't like the fake marriage, the marriage of convenience. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not one of those people that are like, marriage is sacred and nobody can do it, you know, that kind of thing. It's more of a... It's just unnecessary. It's up there with, like, the faux pregnancy with me. I don't like it. And she wrote this well for me, so much so that I didn't hate it.
Yeah. And that's how I felt too. Because for me, fake dating is low stakes.
Yeah.
There's no issue. You break up, whatever. Who cares? Fake marriage, marriage of convenience. You don't break up. You have to break apart a legal document. And like, it's so much more of a commitment. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And I'm not a fan of the orphan trope, but I really think we needed it for this story.
I think that it didn't lean... Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay.
The Cinderella aspect of this isn't just that Gemma is wealthy and Tansy isn't. The Cinderella aspect of it is also that she's orphaned and left with her stepmother and stepsisters. And I think pretty early on, you were reading another book when I was reading this that also had that stepsister thing, and you were hoping that it didn't go to the Cinderella-esque.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think this is going to go there, and I'm not sure I want it to. And I have to say that the way that the Cinderella aspect of this, this evil stepmother, the evil stepsisters, I don't think it rolled too hard.
No.
I think it was a good, happy medium. And I think mostly because Tansy removed herself from that. She was an adult. It's like when you're having these Cinderella stories and they're all still kids, it's different. But Tansy doesn't live with them anymore. She, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Cinderella aspect was faint for me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We only see it every once in a while when Gemma buys her a book or she sends the contract over to expand the shop. It's like little things. You're not seeing her do this, I'm going to drown you in my wealth kind of thing.
Yeah.
When they, it's just, it's more subtle, if that makes sense to me.
I thought it was better than Delilah Green Doesn't Care. I thought that the Cinderella trope was handled better here.
For sure. For sure.
So.
For sure. Let's actually talk about her parents now.
Okay.
Tansy's parents are both passed. Her mom died and then her father died after he remarries.
Right.
Complicated. It's not only has shaped her life, but it's shaped her relationship specifically with her stepmother. The relationship between Catherine and Tansy is complicated. Tansy has always thought she would, as an adult, she would take her family store, like it would be hers physically to own, and her stepmother would give it to her. But that's not the case. Mm-hmm. In fact, when we first meet Tansy at work, her stepmother, Catherine, has approached her to let her know that she has a buyer for the store.
Mm-hmm.
This is when Tansy leans into the lie more and says that me and my fiance actually were going to buy it from you.
Yeah.
What did you think about their relationship at the start of this novel? How do you think it affects Tansy's choices?
It was very much like a Cinderella story and the stepmom coming in and just taking money and then leaving the diner.
Yeah.
yeah. But I this isn't part of your question, but I thought it was really interesting that later in the book we find out that Catherine, who's the stepmom, Tansy's dad is actually her second husband that's died.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
this poor woman has not had great luck.
I kind of thought it was a bit sketchy. I'm like, I mean, is she Black Widowing people? But that's a different book.
That's not this book.
T- To me, this felt realistic because even though this had deep meaning to Tansy, the bookstore had deep meaning to Tansy, it didn't to Catherine. It was her husband's. It wasn't hers. They weren't even married for that long before she died.
She never lived there. She never, like, she didn't have the memories there. She just...
Yeah. Tansy, like, learned to walk there. It belonged to her grandparents before it belonged to her dad. So...
Yeah.
Yeah. It was it's the same thing as what Jenna was dealing with. I mean, on a much different financial scale. Oh, you know?
Absolutely. But still, I mean, $6 million ain't nothing to shake a stick at.
Right?
Ain't nothing.
When that was the value of it, I was like, fucking hell.
Right. I expected like $1.2 million. And she's like, well, $6 million, but it is Seattle, right? It is Washington State. It is.
And books are expensive, so the inventory. But and she'd be buying the whole building because Tansy lives above it. Right, she does live
upstairs and downstairs.
But Catherine tells her that would be more than enough.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We're going to talk. We're going to circle back to Catherine, too, because.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Gemma leans into the black sheep title when it comes to her family.
Mm-hmm.
But little do they know, she is a hardworking and educated woman.
Yeah.
She just lets them keep believing she's a fuck around.
Mm-hmm.
The Vandalins are a nasty, conniving, and wealthy group of people who only look out for number one.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about how how she managed her relationship with the Vandalins?
It felt realistic, I think. Because in these families where wealth is the only goal, you're going to have people who that is not their goal.
Yeah.
Gemma did not think of money as anything. Like, it was no problem for her to rip out her checkbook and write Tansy a $6 million check.
Because she is not like her father in that sense.
She has money. She doesn't need necessarily more money, you know?
And she doesn't care. Whereas as long as she has
the rest of the family, they want the money.
They want a lot of things.
Like, they're planning to sell the company that
their grandfather and their great-grandfather.
Great-grandfather, great-great-something or something or other, started. They're going to sell it because they would make more money. Or they're going to fire a bunch of people because then that would be more profit for them. Which
and they still, in again, the boardroom,
they talk about how that's completely counter to the philosophy of their company.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, who needs dental insurance in these days? Everybody.
Everybody
needs fucking dental insurance, Gary.
Everybody needs dental insurance.
Fuckers. Lucy. Oh, is that where I am? Yeah. Lucy is one of Gemma's five roommates.
Mm-hmm.
But also her former girlfriend. She has a lot of concern about the relationship between Gemma and Tansy and Tansy's motivations. She, like, does a whole dossier. She digs into her. She's really
She's a part of cybersecurity, so she... That's
she digs into Tansy's life. Yeah. She tells Gemma she is obsessed with Tucker. Because she had heard
who's Gemma's cousin.
Cousin, right. When Gemma later asks Tansy about it, we learned the truth that Tucker is a true fucker and a trash human being. Mm-hmm. Tucker being the heel I expected after we meet him at the wedding, but do you think he would be this trash?
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't surprised at all. At all. That he was a trash human being, that he actually digitally sexually harasses, he distributes naked pictures of Tansy, which, by the way, is distribution of child pornography because they're actually in high school. They are not adults.
And he was a senior, so technically he could have gone to jail.
Yeah. He distributes child pornography, and she's the one that really gets in trouble for it because the Vandalins are wealthy and what have you. And it didn't surprise me at all that he was like that. And when Gemma confronts Tansy about it, she had the right to do it. She had the right to be like, hey, I need you to explain this story to me. She didn't approach her correctly, in my opinion. Like, she needed to have more tact than that.
Agreed.
But
she definitely did just jump on her and was like, fucking explain yourself.
Yeah. But I feel like we needed that element to know why, number one, Tansy was reluctant to get involved with the Vandalins again. Number two, why she would feel overly cautious about being hurt by that family again. Yeah. And when you were reading it, you texted me and you're like, I don't understand why she would care that Tansy dated her cousin. Like, that's not any of her business. And I was right. like, how far are you? Okay. You're just like, wait,
just do wait.
Just wait. It matters.
And then I text you, that motherfucker. And you're like, there it is.
But he got his. He got glitter bombed. That's fucking hilarious.
Fuck Tucker. And divorced eventually because Tucker is trash. Well, you'd think
because at Tansy's wedding, at Tansy and Gemma's wedding, he literally stands up and says, you should have taken my deal and we would have had something. And his wife is sitting right there.
And then he insinuates a relationship after the fact. He's like, well, if you still need money.
I know. While his wife is right there. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, we can still work something out. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Get fucked, Tucker. Get fucked. I think
that's what he was trying to do.
Like, Tucker is one of those characters, because we treat characters are real people in Book Besties, guys. That's one of the stickers I need. Characters are real people. Characters are real people. But fuck me. Tucker should have went to jail. Tucker should have been held responsible because those are child porn allegations.
He's also guilty of extortion as an adult.
Like, and that's just what we know.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what we know. Mm-hmm. Ugh.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on from Tucker and his trash behavior.
Yeah.
By chapter 13, Gemma and Tansy are in fact infatuated with each other by this point.
Mm-hmm.
Gemma even asks Tansy, date me?
Yeah.
And it's super cute and fun and light. It is. This leads to some spicy scenes. What did you think of the spice and banter in this book?
I thought it was really good. The banter in general, even when we're not in the bedroom, was really good. It was really good.
The text messages were amazing.
Yeah.
I loved the texting.
The scene where they hook up for the first time at their engagement party.
The library. Ugh.
I don't know why everybody finds that so sexy because I work in the library. It's nasty.
They were in a private library.
It's still probably also nasty.
Because books have germs.
Well, they do. That smell of old books, that's mildew and mold. Like, it's not. Anyway.
You're ruining it.
The first time that they have sex, after they're, like, actually dating, there's a point where Gemma sees that Tansy has, like, a full-length mirror, and she's, like, telling her to watch herself while Gemma's down on her.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, that's really sexy. It made me think of that scene in Bridgerton from the most recent season when...
with Nicoletta?
Yeah.
Oh,
Colin's like, look at yourself. Look how beautiful you are. And then Nicola Coughlin is like banging body with her boobs out. It's hot.
It's hot. It's fucking hot. Mm. I will never not say Nicola is hot, not hot. Oh my God.
Well, she's beautiful in general. Like, she has a really beautiful face.
Oh, she's gorgeous. And her skin looks so soft and milky.
It's like flawless. It's like
porcelain. I'm sure it's not. I'm sure, like every other human, she has blemishes and acne.
But her skin is like porcelain-like because she's Irish. Like, she has a very Irish... because she
literally lived in the land of clouds. Catherine, in the end, has done a complete 180. She is completely understanding about not selling the bookstore and, like, super apologetic and just super, all of a sudden, just trying to be there. Hell, she even calls Tansy her daughter at the wedding.
Yeah.
Is this a little too late?
Yes and no. I understand where Catherine was coming from in terms of not feeling like she could claim Tansy right away. Like, they were newly married. I mean, of course, you have a dating timeline that they would have known each other, but she had just lost her husband and she was grieving as well. I don't think it was all intentional. And she did try to include her as an adult. You know, she was trying to get her to come to family dinners. And I think that Tansy just had enough trauma when she was growing up that that wasn't something she was open
to. She was just done with him.
But I don't think it's necessarily completely late, because I do feel like Catherine is now trying. And Catherine feels really terrible that she missed that Tansy was going through something so horrific, like what happened with her and Tucker. Like that she missed that.
Here's the thing. That woman knew. That woman knew. She ignored it.
I don't think she knew about Tucker.
She had to. They kicked her out of school. You don't get kicked out of school without your parents knowing, and she was the only parent at the time.
She didn't get kicked out, though. She continued to go to school there.
They told her she was... Okay, maybe I misread that. I really thought she was...
Maybe she was suspended or something. I know she had more of a punishment than Tucker did.
I thought she was expelled and had to go to a public school.
No, she graduated from that school.
Okay, maybe she did get suspended. But still, even if she got in trouble, she would have still had to tell her parents. Catherine would have still had to know.
But she didn't have to tell them the whole story. It could have been something inappropriate happened at school. Not that, you know, that he violated her.
I don't know.
It could definitely be a plot hole.
It is a plot hole for me because Catherine was the grown up.
Yeah.
Catherine was the grown up. Yeah. She doesn't get grace for me for that. She doesn't. In that situation, you were the grown up and you failed her.
Yeah. I think that's fair. So, I think that's fair.
I didn't put a question for this, but I want to talk about the boardroom for a second. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk about the ending after the boardroom.
Okay.
So the wedding comes to a head. They're about to say their vows. And Tucker just ruins everything. Mm-hmm. And his partner in crime was Lucy, who was her best friend.
Yeah.
Both girls take off and run in separate directions. We have days of them wallowing. And then they both magically make it to the boardroom where they fall back in love and get married.
Are we going to talk about the wedding more? Or are we just jumping right to the boardroom? Because I need to talk more about the wedding.
Let's talk. Go ahead. Talk about the wedding then.
Okay. I am not at all surprised that Lucy was the one sharing information with Tucker.
Lucy was so fucking selfish.
Totally gave the royal we.
Oh, yes.
It was all jealousy, and you know, she says, I'm in love with you, and that's why I did this. That is not love. That is not love.
That's control.
If you love somebody, you don't blow up their life. She blew up her life.
Blew it up. Even she was actively watching Gemma fall in love, and she was actively working against her.
Yeah. What she didn't like was that she walked in on Gemma and Tansy at the engagement party. And she didn't like that because Gemma had said that she wasn't getting into bed with Tansy. She said she was getting into business with her. And she didn't like seeing the fact that they were having sex.
Because she wants to be the object of Gemma's desire. But, and that's not what's going to happen.
But Gemma absolutely did the right thing, because she knew that Lucy had more feelings than she was able to reciprocate.
Yep.
And so if she would have chosen to marry Lucy out of convenience, it would have been the most likely choice, right? They had dated before. They still lived together. But if she did that, she would hurt Lucy, because she did not love Lucy, and she never would be able to love Lucy.
No. And you know, now, that was a good person thing to do.
Right. And actually, the reason that Tansy and Gemma start actually dating IRL, like for real dating, is because Tansy tells her, I don't want us to be friends with benefits. This is after they have had their engagement right. party and they have sex at the engagement party. She's like, I don't want that because I have feelings for you. And I think you're right that that would yeah. be wrong to do that to you because yeah. I have feelings. I don't want to make you uncomfortable. Yeah. And that's when Gemma's kind of like, oh, yeah, I have feelings too. Yeah. But Lucy being the person that instigated this, that gave Tucker all that research, does not at all surprise me. I feel like it was foreshadowed from the beginning when mm-hmm. she does the research on Tansy to begin with. But it's absolutely asinine to say, I blew up your life because I'm in love with you.
If that anyone says that to love. You, they don't love you. Love is not controlling you. Love is mm-hmm. not. That is not mm-hmm. love.
And she didn't even, I like that Gemma's response was, did you ever stop to think that maybe I was in love with her? Like, did you ever stop to think that?
Did you ever think about me once in this situation or were you only right. thinking about yourself?
A month ago, she told Lucy, I don't love her. I've only known her for a month. But now we've had a month to build on that relationship. Or and 2 months or something like that.
And let's make this crystal fucking clear, gang. She was very clear with Lucy all the way up to the fact till Lucy blows up her wedding.
Mm-hmm. Lucy's a bridesmaid.
She tells Lucy constantly, I don't love you like that. I can't love you like that. That is not in me. I don't have that in me. And mm-hmm. she didn't have it in her until she met Tansy. Mm-hmm. Because it takes a special kind of person to pull that out of us sometimes.
Yeah.
So
I just can't believe the audacity to accept being a bridesmaid, go get a bridesmaid's dress, be at all the events. And
oh, she was playing the long game. She really thought all this work would pay off. She really did.
Think that Tucker wouldn't throw her under the bus? That guy's a slime ball.
I mean, he would probably slap his own mother for $1 million.
He literally says propositions Tansy in front of his wife.
And his mom.
Yes.
Ugh. So fast forward a bit. We're in the boardroom.
Yeah.
And both girls have wallowed. This is after Catherine is given her speech to Tansy. And Gemma is wallowed on her uncle's boat forever mm-hmm. and we've just completely just think the story's over mm-hmm. and then they both magically fall back in love and get married in the boardroom. Believable?
No.
So
I don't think so. It wasn't just that they magically got married in the boardroom. You're skipping over the fact that the board agreed to let them get married and then that would fulfill the yes. condition yes. that Gemma still gets the company. What yes. should have happened? Here's what should have happened, because this is the big bell ringer for me. This took this book from a 3.5 to a 3 for me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Valid.
This is what the problem is. What should have happened is that the board should have still voted Gemma in. They mm-hmm. had the power to do that. They had the power to select the CEO because Gemma did not fulfill the obligation. Which, right. by the way, giving somebody only 6 months to get married when they're not in a relationship is kind of motherfucking ridiculous.
Wild, Grandpa. Wild. Yeah.
That's and also counter to pretty much everything about that family that we know. I mean, his best friend does talk, who's the guy who's in charge of his will, he does talk about how the grandpa's wife was really the person that changed him and molded him, but Gemma's never showed any interest in even being married, so it's kind of ridiculous. Right. And it's not like it's an heir situation, like Gemma's a lesbian, right. like she's going to have have an heir, but it's not going to be biologically her spouse's.
It's not.
Or maybe it is, because I don't know. You could take her egg and someone else's sperm and then Gemma could carry it. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
They're not in their bedroom.
There's no way that two women are making a baby without someone giving sperm.
Yeah. Science, get on it.
Anyway. So they should have still appointed her because she had done the work. First of all, she went to school for journalism and had worked as a journalist. It wasn't just that she
worked in the family business. She was actually working at one of the family's companies in New York and nobody
without anyone knowing.
Because she was thought, her mother's name.
Yep. And she thought her grandfather didn't know that she ended up going to NYU and studying journalism, but he did. And if he felt like she was the ideal candidate, then the board still should have voted her in.
He should have gave then, it to her no matter what.
And then after that happens, Gemma goes to Tansy and tells her, I don't want you because I need you in order to fulfill this obligation. I want you because I want you as a person, as a human, as my lover, as my partner. And then they get together and they get married and they maybe do have a quiet ceremony. That's just the couple of friends they have or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that would be a better ending.
Yeah.
The fact that the board is like marrying them and then granting her. No.
And then having 3 more hours of a board meeting is wild, but that's not the final ending. We have an epilogue.
We have an epilogue.
Of course, it does. This is my last question, actually. Of course, it ends with a wedding, but it's not the one you expected. Did you like this part of the ending?
Fuck, I forgot who got married. Oh,
mom and the uncle.
Gemma's mom and the uncle. So it's not that I didn't like this. It was cute. What I liked about their storyline was it showed more backstory of how really, truly awful Gemma's dad was.
That's the only reason I think we need this storyline too.
Yeah. Because
I really found...
He's gross.
I really found issue with the uncle just being in her shit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this feels unnecessary. And then we got to his story about how he was already in love with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So... And
Gemma's dad arranged for him to be sent away.
Motherfucker.
Because he wanted Gemma's mom. And of course, they got married because they got pregnant with Gemma, but they weren't even married for that long.
Before she was like, fuck you guys, I'm out.
Yeah. So I don't know that the wedding was necessary for the epilogue, but I did like the two of them, that storyline. I did like that.
It'd be a cute novella.
But see, that's what I mean. The epilogue should have been Tansy and Gemma getting married.
Like a real wedding. It should have
been ended with Gemma coming to her and telling her that I want you, not because I need you, all this stuff. That would have been a better ending.
Yeah. So, final question. Did I miss anything? April Goodreads, final thoughts.
I gave it a 3 out of 5. Same. I think people, actually, Tom thinks I judge books too harshly. I made a TikTok in which I talked about how I don't understand this whole six star tier. Like, I don't get it. Like, if you are rating books 6 stars, then you're rating books too easily. I don't give a lot of 5 stars.
You gave Sonic Storm 6 stars.
No, I still only gave it 5 because that is the max. I just understand it a little bit better now. I feel comfortable with a 3-star rating for this.
I do too.
I would definitely read her again, but this is something that I've said several times on this podcast. I don't read romance because I expect it to be 5 stars.
Right.
I read it because I know what I'm going to get. I want a happily ever after.
She's not a terrible writer. Mm. There's a lot of, like, she doesn't write shitty descriptions. It's very clear and good thoughtful. Banter. It's smart. Very good banter. It's just storyline stuff for me. It wasn't about the physical writing. It's storyline stuff for me. And that's just personal taste, you know?
I don't think she's a spectacular writer. Like, I do feel like there were enough issues with it that I don't think that she's spectacular. But with that said, I would definitely read her again. I would definitely read her again.
Same.
And I guess this is the second thing I've read by her. And I, you know. So
look at you. You're versed in her.
I guess so.
Do you want to talk
she's
about
She's got a while week? To go before she's Olivia Dade. Because that's
I mean,
that's
she doesn't even have
all Olivia's books right there.
She doesn't even have that size of a catalog yet, babe.
I know. The next one that I'm gonna have a huge stack of is Elsie Silver because I'm obsessed. Mm. I'm obsessed.
Understandable. Yeah. That banter was fire.
It was really good. It was really good.
I haven't started a personal read yet. I'm on a nonfiction reading section right now because I'm doing research.
I know. I love that for you.
I'm glad you do because I don't know if I do.
DNF'd 2 books in a row.
Atta girl. So I owe you two quarters. Oh, Matt told me to give you a dollar to cover for the next two.
Okay, well, there were only three books on my shelf that cost a quarter. So
there's going to be another book that costs a quarter someday.
Yeah, well, we've already read the other one that was a quarter.
Oh, okay.
It was The Perfect Marriage by Geneva Rose. So
I got rid of It Ends With Us Today.
Girl, somebody asked me if they could borrow it, and I was like, you can keep it. I do not want this.
I have no desire to keep this in my home. Mm-hmm. It's actually a really bad omen, and I'm afraid my house will burn down if it's in it. Bye.
But I am really loving the legal drama with the movie and the fact that Colleen Hoover may get canceled as part of this. And like,
I mean, she's hiding. She has shut down everything that is attached to her name. She is retired. Bitch, you're hiding. Mm-hmm. Bitch, you're hiding. Let's talk about next week.
Yeah.
Let's talk about next week. Fuck Colleen Hoover.
So next week we are reading this book. Tom put it here. The Cock Down the Block. And we have the wonderful Amy Award author of Cock Down the Block coming
Chicken
on.
Chicken enthusiast.
Also cat mom, because we see her cats in the episode. We've actually already filmed this episode. Spoiler, guys. Wibbly wobbly, timey-wimey. But the episode is going to be really good. We have some great conversations with her. Funny. Amy was awesome. She is an independent author, but has so many books under her name. And I can't wait for people to hear this episode.
I can't wait till people discover her more. Like,
well, she has a pretty big following.
I know, but I was talking about her at the book club and nobody knew what the fuck I was talking about. I was like, you bitches have no idea.
The Cock Down the Block. Let me tell you. I saw that title in one of her videos and was like, I know nothing about this, but that girl on the cover looks fucking amazing. That guy looks hot. There's a rooster. I want to read this. I love a dick joke.
Someone asked me when I was talking about it, they go, is that the chick with the wiener book? And I was like, probably.
Yep. There, the wiener across the way.
Yep.
That's the second one, I think. Yeah.
I was like, yeah, probably. Yeah. All of them have an animal themed.
Yep. Yep.
All right, besties, we're going to head out
and
go, you know, be not here.
Yeah. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of April and Molly and not those of anyone else. Today's book was The Fiancé Farce by Alexandria Bellefleur. Your book besties are Molly Biggs and April Watkins. Editing by Thomas Watkins, and music is Sleep Sweetly by Brigida. Don't forget to follow the Book Besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the Book Besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book.